Welcome to Living the Dream Outdoors, the official podcast of Living the Dream Outdoor Properties. We live by the motto, it's not just land, it's a lifestyle. And we live the outdoor lifestyle every day. Whether you're a landowner or dreaming of joining the ranks of those closest to the earth, we're your brothers and sisters of the outdoors. We hunt, we fish, we're stewards of the land. And our Living the Dream team will show you the way to enjoying the land and all the outdoor pursuits it has to offer. Here's your host, Bill Cooper.
Welcome to Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast. I'm your host, Bill Cooper, and I'm down in Shannon County today, one of my favorite places to go to when I head south. And I had to be sitting in the dining room of Mr. Billy Smith's home, right? Almost on the banks of the Jack's Fork River. Billy, it's so good to see you again.
Hey, listen, Bill, it's a pleasure to be in your company and presence.
he must be wanting something. He's buttering me up.
Yes, that's right.
We lean on each other pretty heavy a couple times a year, and it's always fun to get together. Yeah, you've got a seminar coming up, and I'm fortunate enough to get kind of be your video man, I guess.
Yes. I couldn't do it without you, Bill.
I don't believe that for a second, but yeah. I use it as an excuse to get down. We usually come back to Shannon County, come to Eminence, and, you know, there's some great little places to eat down here. We stopped by a station on the way out this morning, picked up a fine bologna sandwich.
Yes, it is. That deli meat counter. That's where for my guide trips. It's where I get my sandwich stuff for the day. I get it from there. Absolutely. At Rowden's Express right there in Eminence.
Yeah, I think we've rounded up several dozen sandwiches there over the years. But Billy Smith, just in case you don't know, he's a guide down on the Jack's Fork and Current Rivers, has been for some time. Spent most of his life right here in this area. But he's got Scenic Rivers Guide Service out of Eminence, lives right here. And right off the bat, you can look him up at scenicriversguideservice.com. Or if you want to give him a phone call, it's 573-225-3390. And we'll mention that again at the end of the program for you people that don't have your pens and papers out and also have a short memory.
Yes, that's for sure.
Well, Billy, Ben, I'm envious. I think everybody knows you're envious. Oh, yeah. Of the fact that you get to live right here in this beautiful country. You've been here practically all your life, I guess.
Yes, I have. Since I was a little toddler or whatever, you know. Of course, my folks, grandparents and beyond and stuff from here. Three of the four sides of grandparents are from this area and go way back. And so I've spent a lifetime here.
I can't think of a better place to spend a lifetime. Of course, we just had a conversation coming back. We spent a little bit of time on a river this morning. We'll talk about that just a little bit later. But on the drive back from the river, we were talking about our locales. You know, I'm just a few minutes from the Merrimack River, and I love the Merrimack River. Don't get me wrong.
Yes.
I catch a lot of good fish out there, and I can get to it so quickly. In fact, I did a little short 3.5-mile float New Year's Day.
Uh-huh.
Floated about a mile and a half for the Hoos on, hit the Merrimack, and a couple miles further down Onondaga Cave, and my wife drops me in, picks me up, and she works from home, so they don't even miss her that short time it takes her to go dump me in a river, you know.
That's wonderful.
And,
yes.
But I made the statement to you on the drive back this morning that I am a bit envious because you are living in the heart of wild, wild country down here.
It is. It's, you know, and I've a few times got to fish the Merrimack and different other streams, whether it's the Gasconade, and acquainted with several fishermen and outdoorsmen from those areas. And yes, they are a very good, productive, good quality smallmouth streams. The thing about the Current River, the Jack's Fork, is the scenery and the setting and the wildlife with that goes
absolutely
with it.
Absolutely. We ever you had know. A morning this morning, and we caught some fish. We didn't fish long because the rain was coming in, but I caught four fish in the first five casts.
I noticed that. I seen that. Yes. Yes.
Of course, I had a good guy that set me up.
I set you right on the spot and said, you know, yes, sir.
Yeah, take my rod and throw this lure, you know.
Yeah. Yes.
Worked out perfect. But on the way in, we ran across a site that people would pay lots of money to see, you mm-hmm. know. We ran into an elk herd.
Yes.
I don't know. At least a dozen.
Yeah.
Animals.
Oh, yes, there was. There was a dozen in that, just standing out there in that river bottom, just as pretty as a picture. You know?
Absolutely. The woods was a little thick. I got a few photographs, snuck through the woods a little bit and got some elk, their face, you know, turned right to me. But what an experience. And we know, of course, that stocking program started over at Peck Ranch, but those animals are spread out up and down the Jack's Fork and the current rivers, and it's just incredible to see them out in the wild.
Yes, they are
wild animals. They didn't let us get very close.
No, they took off. You know, and Bill, as you was telling about that, I was thinking, now remember back right before we got there, as we got on the gravel road going to the access, as I come up over that little hump in the curve, remember there was three bald eagles right there in those trees and an immature that just right in front of us that, you know, pitched off on from the edge of the river. So we seen that group of bald eagles, then the elk, and then on the river up and there where we were fishing, I mean, how many bald eagles were right there?
Oh,
you know, five
wow.
or six probably in those trees.
Yeah, strung out down the river. And of course, I'm sure there's some residents that anymore that hang out probably all year. But in the wintertime, we garner a lot of eagles in the Ozarks. I know I'm seeing them on the Merrimack, and you know, it's always a highlight of my day when I see a bald eagle.
Yes,
I can remember, gosh, as a child, I never saw anything like that.
Yeah,
in fact, we talk about so many things on the river, you know, it's a great, relaxing atmosphere, and you're catching fish and seeing the eagles and the elk. And gosh, the water is crystal clear, you can see the bottom 15 feet just like in front of your face. Little mist and drizzle, wind in your face, man, it's such a refreshing experience. But Billy, you know, I came from southeast Missouri, and I never saw a deer or wild turkey until I was almost 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Which didn't happen in that part of the world. In fact, I like to recall some of the stories. My dad and I used to hang out at an old country store, you know, particularly in the wintertime. The old guys would sit around and play checkers and spit tobacco on the floor. You know?
Yes, yes.
But you heard some pretty tall tales in there. And once in a blue moon, somebody would talk about it. And I didn't believe these guys, but some of the old timers would talk about the fact they had seen a deer track.
Yes.
And that was usually on an island in the Mississippi River.
Yeah.
But I never saw a deer track. To me, it's like they was talking about dragons or dinosaurs or something, you know.
Yeah, you know, and you reminded me of a couple of years of my college years back in the 70s, and one of my good friends, a roommate the first year, was just farm boys south of Kansas City, and Brad, you know, they talked about, man, if they, in that, like you said, if somebody seen a deer, that was a big deal, or a turkey, I don't even think, you know, wild turkey. And Brad come down and would hunt with me. You know, it wasn't a few years later, 80s or whatever, you know, I went up and hunted wild turkey hunting up with him up in that, or in that area, that they were non-existent, you know, and that. So the work of the conservation MDC and those that all support and help is, you can see the results.
Oh, absolutely. I've seen it
statewide.
You know. I've seen it in my lifetime, you know, the comeback of the white-tailed deer and the wild turkey. And, and of course, wild turkeys are my absolute favorite, man.
Yes. And I would say, you know, I know that I got to see that back in the late 60s and through the 70s, 80s, our wild turkey population here in this Ozark Mountain was tremendous, you know, and that, and yes, it's fell off from what it used to be. I think it's built, you know, building back and that. But when we're talking this, we're talking statewide. We're talking where it was not and they are now, you know.
Absolutely. And of course, in our lifetimes, we've seen, well, the efforts in conservation, that learning curve, boy, has just shortened so much, and they've learned so much in my lifetime, because I remember when they talked about, you know, wild turkeys. Well, I think MDC back in those days actually even published material that said, oh, you had to have a block of at least 5,000 continuous wooded acres to have wild turkeys.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we got them on the plains of Missouri.
Yes.
And the grasslands. And I was just in Nebraska or South Dakota recently pheasant hunting. And Merriam turkeys so thick out there, they're considered a pest.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Yeah, it's just incredible. Yeah. So we've been so fortunate to enjoy these things in particular. And, of course, I'd much rather hunt wild turkeys on one of your hardwood ridges deep in Shannon County than I would on the plains. You know?
Yes.
Because, hey, you've been out there thousands of times just like I have. Uh-huh. And, of course, you come home empty-handed a lot more than you do packing
a
20-pound-plus gobbler over your shoulder. But how rewarding is it to go out there early in the morning and you hear that first gobble, maybe three ridges over, but it still kind of makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck.
Yes, buddy. It's quite an experience.
Oh,
hills and hollers.
Oh, absolutely. But you get a gobbler talking to you, and then you can tell that he's coming closer and closer and closer. Does your heart still get up in your throat?
Yeah, it will. Yeah, it get all excited. Just, you know, it is. It's quite an experience. It really is.
But the beautiful thing about Shannon County here, a person could actually come down and chase wild turkeys for a while, and then he can get on a Jack's Fork or Current River, take that beautiful float trip, or he could go fishing with Billy's Mitt.
That's right. We get in the boat and go at it, you know, and I've done that many times.
Well, I can remember probably where I first met you, I'm sure it was through Ray I.
Yes,
it was. We were down here doing exactly that.
Yes.
Chasing gobblers around, get on the river and catch some goggle eye.
Smallmouth. Yes.
Yeah.
Take a boat ride to a scenic, you know, just to look at it. And then
we've done that more than once.
Yeah. Or float down the river, just take down the river that early morning to listen to a gobbler, you know, sound off and pull over to the riverbank and go at it, you know.
Yeah. Well, I remember one young man, I can't even call his name, it was camp we was at here several years ago, and I think you took him up the river, and a turkey happened to gobble on top of a big mountain. That boy claimed it was almost straight up. You know?
Oh, yes. I remember. I'll think of his name here after a little
was
bit.
It?
Tyler Mahoney.
Tyler Mahoney, yeah.
Yes.
I remember Tyler, I was talking to him later. He said, Bill, I was literally grabbing a hold of the saplings and little trees to pull myself up the hill to get to that gobbler.
Yes, we were going up Coot Mountain, right below Two Rivers, and that, and a steep, one of the highest hills in this area, you know, and that river face of it is very steep going up, and that
sounded like a young man's hunt.
It was. I won't, you
know. You didn't go with him?
I did, and then I turned him loose on up, you know, and I'm sitting here thinking, when that was, I was in my mid-50s when that, I'm a little bit, you know, I was in my mid-50s, and I scooted right up that hill my best up to a point, and I turned him loose and said, go after it, you know.
But I'm sure he'll tell his grandkids that story, you know.
Oh, yes.
Of course, that mountain will be three times taller time.
Oh, yes, yes. Now, I couldn't do that now. Those days have passed for me.
Pretty much me too.
Well,
I remember the days, you know, I could hear a turkey gobble a mile away. I'd double time.
Yeah.
I'd trot over there.
Oh, yes.
And try to close within 100, 200 yards and then set up. Today, I might walk halfway, and then I'll sit down and call. People want to come other half.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's fine too.
yes. I know what you mean on that. So.
Oh, but such good times, and we've had, many years of enjoying right here in the Ozarks, and hope to have many, many more.
Yes, I hope so.
All right. Well, folks, we're going to take a short break here, but don't run off. We've got lots of good information. We didn't even talk really about fishing yet.
No.
That's primarily what you're about.
Yes, fishing. It is.
Well,
we will.
Was it you or me who mentioned turkeys first? You get talking about turkeys, you know, that's always a tangent.
We'll both take the blame for it. Yes.
All right, we'll be right back.
Our forefathers gave us a Bill of Rights. One of those is the right to step in the front door of Pond Center. where the faint sound of eagles screeching from on high a bounding purple mountain's majesty browls the walls full of glorious firearms. It's hard not to shed a patriotic tear as your red, white, and blue blood becomes fortified by the sight of true freedom. Pawn Center, located at 408 Highway 72 East in Brown, Missouri. Or give us a call at 573-426-GUNS.
Hey, this is John from CoAngler.com. Did you know that CoAngler.com is the newest online platform to connect anglers for fishing trips? You can create your free account, offer and request fishing trips, connect with anglers in your area, share some costs, share some knowledge, and share a great time in the outdoors. Whether you're fishing from a boat and you got an extra seat and want somebody to come with you, or you need some help shuttling those kayaks for your next float trip, CoAngler is a great way to connect with like-minded anglers in your area for a great time out on the water. So get on CoAngler.com and let's go fishing.
Hey there, listeners. At Conservation Federation of Missouri, we're more than just advocates for our environment. We're active in making a difference through hands-on programs that protect and preserve Missouri's natural resources. By becoming a member, you're supporting impactful initiatives like Share the Harvest, which provides venison to families in need, and Operation Game Thief, which helps combat poaching and protects our wildlife. You're also contributing to the RISPR grants, which fund local conservation projects across the state. Your membership makes these vital programs possible, ensuring that we continue to serve both our communities and our environment. Plus, as a member, you'll receive updates on these programs, invitations to exclusive events, and the opportunity to get involved in the work you care about most. Visit confedmo.org/join
to learn more and to join us today.
Together, we can support programs that protect Missouri's wildlife, waters, and wildlife. Be a part of the Conservation Federation of Missouri, where action leads to conservation.
Hey everyone, this is Michael Collins with Misty Mountains Guiding Service. I'm here to talk to you a little bit about what we offer. Misty Mountains is a smallmouth and trout-specific guiding service that caters to the northern Ozarks region. My areas include the Upper Merrimack River, the Gasconade, and a few smaller creeks in the Mid-Missouri area. Whether you enjoy casting streamers to bass, drifting a dry fly, or ripping lips with spinning gear, I've got you covered. Fishing is made easy in my state-of-the-art drift boat raft. I control the boat with ease while you or yourself and a buddy do all the work at catching fish. Besides a great day on the water, I provide all needed gear, a delicious shore lunch, and as much fishing knowledge as you can carry with you on the way home. Spots for the 2024 season are going fast. Give me a call or text today to get your trip booked. My number is 573-823-9057. Find me on Facebook and Instagram at Misty Mountains Guiding Service. It's always an adventure with Misty Mountains.
This is Dan from the White Buffalo Fly Shop, your gateway to Missouri's blue ribbon trout streams and world-class smallmouth water. Whether you're headed to Mill Creek, the Kern, or the Gasconade, we've got the flies, the gear, and the local know-how to help you fish with confidence. If you're looking to sharpen your casting skills, join one of our hands-on clinics. Or if you'd like to craft your own fly rod, build it with us in one of our rod building courses. You're always welcome in our fly tying nights to swap stories, share patterns, and get the latest hatch reports. White Buffalo Fly Shop is more than just a place to gear up. It's a hub for our local community. You'll find us at 605 North Pine Street in Rolla or online at whitebuffaloflyshop.com.
Welcome back to Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast. I'm Bill Cooper, and I'm in the home of Billy Smith down on the Jack's Fork River in Eminence, Missouri. Oh, we got to wandering in that first segment. Talked a little bit about fishing and some of the things we're working on today, getting ready for a seminar Billy's doing over at Imperial, Missouri. But, Billy, your forte is really fishing.
Yes.
And spent a lifetime fishing the Jack's Fork and Current, and I'm sure some other rivers as well. But this is your meat and potatoes right here out of Eminence, Missouri. But how's the winter treated you so far?
Oh, it's been good. You know, I mean, yes, we're this time this year right now, we've had overall unseasonably warmer weather as that, and not near the rain that maybe would get the and that. So the river conditions are lower, and clear. That water's very clear. I know the other day in some of the areas when it's midday and sun shining, I really think I was seeing the bottom of the river in 20 foot of water.
Wow.
You know, and so it does make it, you know, the fish aren't, you know, they're spooky, I guess, you know, they're in that. But it's been good. You know, we're in the wintertime. I've had some really good smallmouth trips or out, you know, excursions, and some walleye on that lower, going to that very lower part of Kern River, you know, even down into the Arkansas area, a section of Kern River. And I've had some days where, you know, it was a grind and you catch two or three or four, you know, and then I've had days when we've left there, you know, with a limit, a nice size walleye. Very good. I've caught one decent, what I would call a decent one or a good one, 8 pound, and, you know, can release. I like to practice even on the walleye on those bigger females like that, of releasing them and that. So it's been a good winter. Enjoying it and looking ready for another couple of months of it. Yes.
Well, your presentation we were just working on, man, you've got some incredibly large walleye.
Yeah.
Some of those photographs.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people realize that here in the Midwest, in kind of the southern Midwest, that there are some very large walleye.
Yes, there is.
And I would grant, I'd almost bet that not one in five walleye fishermen realize that the four largest walleye ever caught in the United States, last time I checked, uh-huh, 2 or 3 years ago, came from Missouri, Arkansas, Kentucky, and Tennessee.
Yes.
Now, the northern people probably wouldn't recognize that.
That's right. You know, and that. And they finally, what I understand, and I would have to look it up again, I did see something some time ago that there would been one out of Kentucky that they always, it was questionable about it, but I think they finally officiated it, and that is the world record out of Kentucky. And then it was, I think it was the one out of Arkansas, out of that area, and that was a world record, 21, 22 pound range, something like that. And so, yes, they a lot of people don't realize it, that whether it's the lakes like Bull Shoals or even Table Rock or Greer's Ferry down in Arkansas, and that they big walleye. But this native strain of walleye, and it's native, genetically native strain of walleye that runs, they call it the Black River strain, and you know, out of Black River, Kern River, 11 Point, and that Spring River, you know, that starts in at Mammoth Springs in Arkansas, all that interconnects and ends up eventually at Black River, right out from Black Rock, Arkansas. That walleye ranges up and down through that, and yes, big walleye. I've been fortunate enough to catch three that's been in the 11 pound class, you know.
Wow.
And but you always hear and know of those, that guys that are, you know, the 12s, the 14s, you know, and that. And back in the day, I've heard of some very big ones, you know. Last year, the biologist, what I understand, they shocked one that right below the Clearwater Dam, you know, because these walleye moved, you know, just like your salmon and stuff in that, on that spawn. And they shocked one there that weighed a little over 17 pound.
Wow.
You know, and that, and it's interesting, the studies that they've done, how that these walleye migrate and move during this spawning time and everything. And I've related this story before, but a few years ago we had caught a walleye right north of Donovan, about 5 miles upriver from Donovan, had the tag on it, we turned it in, and then got the history on it. Now, it was the genetic strain, the Black River genetic strain also, and that river was captured, I mean that river that walleye was captured like 3 years previous of that time frame when we caught it. It was about 20-inch walleye that time. When it was captured, I think it was about, I'm going to say, 16 inches. And it was captured right in that exact same area. They took it to the hatchery over by Springfield. It was a male. And they milked it out and done their thing, you know, for the hatchery for that. They turned that walleye loose in the 11 Point River. Somewhere 142 area, I don't know exactly where, somewhere in that part of the 11 Point. That walleye, 3 years later, was, you know, we know 3 years later, it was back at that same area that they had captured it. That means it went down the Levin Point, into the spring, into the Black River, up the Black and up the Kern River. I don't know, 200 miles,
wow.
You know, and that was about the third, fourth, fifth one that we knew of from turning those tags, those studies that they do, how much they migrate. They've even, you know, 30, 40, 50 miles in a day sometimes that they,
because, you know,
so yeah, we have a walleye fishery. It's no, is it like the Northwoods or Canada numbers and all that? No, it's nothing. You might, I've seen us fish all day and get one or two bites, but right. I've also seen a guy catch two fish, but one of them was a 10.14 pound walleye, you know? So yeah. And the winter smallmouth is just, you know, as typical, they move for their wintering holes, deeper water near their larger type springs and that, and congregate. And it's a good time to fish.
Oh, absolutely. And we went out for just an hour today. This was a work day for us.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We worked on your seminar and got that put together, and we saw a little break in the weather, and you said, let's go get the boat and go to the river. Well, I wasn't going to say no to that.
So you got to go when you got that chance.
Yeah, we grabbed a bottle of water and a bologna sandwich the way we went. And I literally did caught four smallmouth in the first five casts.
Yeah.
I played with my fly rod a little bit, watched the eagles and the elk, and watched the river flow by. I just had a tremendous, tremendous time. But Billy, do you get a lot of clients that come and fish in these cold weather periods?
I get some, not you know, near the numbers that I do during the spring and the summertime, but I do. I get the clients that occasional, you know, that comes, and I've got a few trips. Got one tomorrow, actually one Saturday. I got some two or three different calls today while we were out, and I've got to follow up on them. So yes, I do, and as long as it's not extreme cold, and you understand that we may get out there starting the morning and it may be in the mid to upper 20s, you know, and or 30, and it may not get out of the 30s during the whole day. You know, you got to prepare. You dress in layers and you be prepared for that, and understanding that yeah, it could get a little chilly, but the reward is
oh, it's just so, you know, incredible. I'm I'm a duck hunter. You know, they're a different breed.
Yeah.
I've frozen to seats. I was sitting on
yeah.
when I was duck
yes.
hunting. So I can certainly take it out there fishing as well. But I'm old enough. I've learned, hey, that dressing in layers, having a proper clothing, and it helps you hang in there a whole lot longer.
Yes, it does.
I just talked to a young friend of mine that went north to duck hunt just recently, Grand Pass, I think, a couple other buddies. And I knew, I was watching the weather, I knew those boys were going to be looking at thick, thick ice. He said, we sat up there, you know, didn't have a duck come by us. And my two buddies, they don't get to go off, so they want to stay clear to that 1 o'clock closure time. Mm-hmm. And we had north wind blowing in our face, you know. Mm-hmm. So I was just froze. And I sat there for all those hours, and we didn't have a duck come by the blind, you know. Yeah. But they stuck it out, but there was still some duck season left, but he didn't go anymore. It kind of froze him out, I think. You know? So there's so much to be said for being absolutely well-prepared when you're going to go out in these cold weather environments, man, whether it's duck hunting or, well, I was kayaking, you know, New Year's Day. Go prepared. I had on the good clothes and dry clothes.
Yes, that's a must.
Absolutely. You got to be prepared. Be able to, if you fall in that water, got to be able to get out and build yourself a little fire, change clothes. And it's not fun changing clothes in 20 degree weather, you know.
Yeah, when you're wet, that's for sure. So, yes, you know, and I have stuff on board in the boats that I can, you know, build a fire or whatever, and then also carry a one of the Mr. Heater, little buddy heaters and stuff in the boat.
Love
and
those things. So, I got a couple of them.
You know, today, it's different today, you know. I mean, it's still cold weather, you know. But 20, 30 years ago, we didn't have some of the clothing, equipment, and stuff that we have now. You know, the clothes that will cut that wind and that warmth with the Gore-Tex and that, or even the heated vest. You know,
absolutely.
I've got a heated vest that if it gets cold enough, I've got it, you know, and that makes a difference.
I don't have one of those yet, but boy, I've been looking at them a little bit.
Yes, I can tell you.
Those, yeah.
Yes.
Well, you've got enough layers, yeah. I stay in pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good shape.
Yeah, so.
All right. Well, Billy, let's move on up, man, as you start pushing out of the cold weather of January and February.
Yeah, what's going to happen. And then, of course, after I'll hit that walleye, they spawn, you know, they usually have spawned by the middle to latter part of February on the current river. The biologists will tell us that usually by about that first week in March, they've done their spawn on the Black River. And that, you know, and now can you still catch walleye? Yeah, if you want to, you know, you target and fish and that form. At that point, I might be start going to other places, you know, while there's opportunities happening for that spawn. But the smallmouth fishery, then that latter part of February, sometimes into March, you'll see them start, you know, usually we're getting some warmer weather. The sun, you know, getting more sunlight, the angle of that sunlight's changing. Those smallmouth will start moving and migrating out of their winter patterns and stuff, staging up and getting ready for, you know, for that spring. And then, of course, that is a tremendous time, you know, to fish. They, you know, and you just have to stay, you know, fishing after them and figuring out, well, where they're at, locating, and that. It's just like anything else you do. You have to go and apply yourself, look, and figure that out, you know.
And, well, that sounded to me like that might be just an excuse to get out on the river.
Oh, yes, yes, you bet. You know, go and pre-fish or whatever and that. So, no, and I've had some tremendously good catches in, you know, that February into March, you know. And then I've seen the times that it was a tough bite. That's fishing.
Oh,
you know,
absolutely.
It's not catching every time, you know, and that it's fishing. Sometimes it's better. Some days it's better, you know.
Well, I know you've always got a plan B in your back pocket.
Oh, yes.
You know, I've been out on the river when we've just caught a fish right and left, you know, and sometimes it's going to slow down at some point in the day. But, you know, this river like the back of your hand, and it's always a joy to ride up and down the river. In fact, I've stopped in a time or two hauling a friend with me that just wants to get on the river for an hour with Billy Smith, and you've been gracious enough to take us out.
Yes.
Fletcher Hudson, that I go to church with, had him down here a couple of years ago, and he still talks about that little ride we took.
I enjoyed that day.
Absolutely. But you know enough about the flora and the fauna of this region, plus the history. Mm-hmm. It's always so interesting to listen to you talk about people that lived up this hollow or that hollow. So, folks, Billy Smith is not just a fishing guide. He's a wonderful resource here for Shannon County and the Jack's Fork and the Current River. And you actually do trips just for tours, no fishing involved.
Yes,
right?
I do. And I've done a handful of those throughout the years of just a boat ride tour of the river and, you know, stop along and say, okay, now here's an interesting aspect or what here, you know, or like I was telling you about that family that lived up in this creek area. And back in the day, and so the kids are still alive, you know, and they're not elderly, but they're, you know, middle-aged or above, and how that they would, to go to school, they would walk to the river, and they had a boat stationed there at the river, probably the old wooden John boat, you know, and the kids would paddle that boat across the river, you know, and then walk to the one-room schoolhouse in that area where they would attend school. Then at the end of the day, you know, walk back to where that boat was at, paddle it back across, and walk home where they would live, you know. So, man, that was a different lifestyle back in those days. That was way back before the national park here was established and along the riverway.
I think I'd been in trouble if I'd had to go to school by crossing the river. I'd have probably just stayed on the river and fished all day and told them I went to school.
Yes, yes, you know. So, yeah, I mean, I enjoy sharing that with folks, what I know. You know, there's several folks in this area that are, you know, their knowledge extends way beyond mine of the history and that, but I picked up from them and what I've read, and I like sharing that about, you know.
Absolutely. Well, you know, one of the greatest things about, we know when we go hunting and fishing, we got to have stories to tell.
Oh, yes.
That's one of the biggest, most important part of the outdoor world, is passing that information on to others.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we are known to embellish stories.
Oh, I was sitting there thinking what my good friend Carl Jones, who unfortunately has passed on, went fishing a lot with him. And he always said, now, the good Lord understands that on that fish and, you know, embellishing them stories. That's okay. You know, that is excusable because that you can do that. He'd joke about that, know.
Yeah.
And that. So,
Yeah, I've done the same.
Yes, yes.
You find a lot of old guys that do that. Well, Billy, if somebody wants to schedule a fishing trip with you, how they go about it?
All right. The best way is a phone call at that number, 573-225-3390. And leave a message, and that, because I'm not a lot of times where I have service. That's the one thing about here. Not everywhere you have phone service, and especially on the river. Or you can text to that number or go to my Facebook site and that Scenic Rivers Guide Service. And you can send me a message through that messenger. That's the best way. And then, of course, I do have the website, and you can send a message from that avenue. But like I said, the best way is a phone call.
Absolutely. And going into your busy season, how much lead time? How far out do you like people calling in?
Yeah, a couple weeks out and stuff like that. And then as we get into the springtime, then it may take a little bit, 2-3 weeks or so. I might end up with a day. But call anyway, leave, and we'll talk about that. And, if I get a cancellation or something, I'll get back with you.
Okay.
And I don't require one other thing, just since we're talking, I don't require a deposit. I do cash or check, because also I'm in those remote areas a lot of times and you don't have service, so you can't do transactions any other way. So that's what I do. And
And what do you provide on a fishing trip?
Okay. I have fishing equipment and tackle available. If you want to bring your own, you're more welcome to it. But I've got stuff already set up, for the application that we're going to do, and fishing tackle. But I have, side note, I've seen people, bring stuff. It's something that I didn't have, and it caught fish,
Right.
So I have that, and I will have lunch. Most of the time I do a deli sandwich item. So I pick it up. It's not sandwiches are not already made. I have the turkey, the ham or whatever, and toppings. And then we stop and you make your sandwich how you want. It's all fresh and prepared from that day. So, and I'll have drinking water on board.
Absolutely. And I've got to tell people this, and I don't want to expect this, because you and I've worked together for decades longer than I like to remember sometimes. But folks, I do get the special treatment. I remember 2 or 3 years ago, Billy and I were out on the river. We stopped on a gravel bar. I was kind of expecting a sandwich, and he broke out a little cooking stove, a little setup, and I had walleye fillets right on the banks of the current
river. I know it. Yeah.
One of the most memorable meals I've ever had.
Yeah, and for you to be the gourmet cook, and I prepared
I think I got showed up that day.
Well, I don't know about that, but no, and that, and there's a lot, there's guide services, especially up north, and that's what they do, the shore lunch stuff. But because of the stipulations, I am authorized you to do this with the National Park Service, and you have to have the commercial authorization and the approval through the National Park Service to do this in Ozark National Scenic Riverways. Well, because of those stipulations that they have with the cooking and all of that, I've had to be able to just do this to provide that, and not do the shore lunch.
Absolutely.
Plus it takes a lot of time from
that.
And also on, smallmouth bass fishing, which is 90% of my trips or better are smallmouth bass fishing. It's catch and release.
Absolutely.
I am a very
free the fighter.
Yep. Free that fighter. And, turn it loose, let it grow up, get bigger, and hope somebody else gets to catch it or you get to again, because the smallmouth, the growth rate on a smallmouth takes many years to get to that 18, 20 inch. It takes, and they, the conditions that they live under. So those are a sought after trophy to get to catch, that 20 inch smallmouth. That 18 is a, that's a nice smallmouth.
Oh, that's a big,
and especially
smallmouth.
Our smallmouth in that current river. I've heard it described by a client that come with me, and they said, well, they described the smallmouth from the North Woods in Canada, and they're you know, not taking, they call them lazy boy smallmouth, and they call ours down here on the Kern River treadmill smallmouth.
That's yes, about right.
Because yeah. in that current, and when they move to that swift water, or swifter water, and they are very active, I mean, they fight. Oh, you know, it's
absolutely.
Just,
yes. And if you can get lucky enough to get into that topwater window,
oh yes,
you're going to have some experiences that you will absolutely yes, have dreams
is.
About.
It is. That topwater, I love it, that blowing up. The other, there's a lot of different techniques, but and then also when they are on that, throwing a fluke, a weightless fluke, and, you know, you're jerking that thing back and forth around the logs, and when they just roll up on that, it's just absolutely, I love it. You know, it is. It's a,
well, Billy, so. I think we have painted a very good picture here, kind of a dreamy sort of situation yeah. coming to the wilds of the Ozarks down here in Eminence, Missouri, on the Jack's Fork, the Current River, in yeah. the Ozark National Scenic Riverways, protected yeah. area. And we just had a fabulous experience today that I'm going to tell lots of people about. Good. Got to see a herd of elk, numerous eagles. Caught some fish right quick and didn't get wet. We got out before the rain got.
Yes, that's right.
But it's not a dream. Mm-hmm. It's for real. You can come and do this. But I want to wind up here by telling you folks that Billy Smith and I, we are living our outdoor dreams and have for decades.
Yes.
So we'd like to see you take the time, come down and see Billy, take a trip with him, and make your own outdoor dreams.
There you go.
I'm Bill Cooper.
People love a good mustache. People also love a good firearm. The fine people down at Pond Center like both. They have the largest selections of firearms in the area, and with a friendly, knowledgeable staff of hombres to help you pick the gun that's right for you. You could end up riding into the sunset with a gun you love. Find them at pc72guns.com, on shelf, in store, online, or give them a call at 573-426-GUNS. That's Pond Center. Guns welcome. Mustache appreciated.
Captain Brian Wilson runs one of the tightest bow fishing operations in the business. Stainwater Bow Fishing operates out of Jerome, Missouri, and the beautiful Missouri Ozarks. They cover most Ozark streams and lakes. You haven't lived until you've searched Ozark waters during the night with Stainwater Bow Fishing while looking for giant gar, carp, and buffalo. Captain Wilson also runs a second boat on Taneycomo Lake. Call today to book a trip with Stainwater Bow Fishing at 573-263-8016. Again, that's 573-263-8016. Be sure and shoot straight.
The Living the Dream Outdoors podcast is brought to you by Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, the Fly Rod Journals, SmokerBuilder.com, Cowtown USA, Westover Farms, Scenic Rivers Taxidermy, Stained Water Bow Fishing, Scenic Rivers Guide Service and Tours, Huzzah Valley Resort, Pico Lures, Devil's Backbone Outfitters, J&J Charters, Kaufman Cove, Alaska, Bean Creek Game Calls, Misty Mountain Guide Service, ASO Guides and Outfitters with Ryan Walker, Expedition Trailers, The Rambling Angler, and Rich's Famous Burgers.
Land ownership is the American dream. Land is the basis of all life. Our wise use of this most precious of resources ensures the survival and growth of free institutions and our American way of life. At Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, we value the traditions and freedoms that land provides us. Every day we seek the solace of a mountain sunrise over traffic jams and smog, the calming silence of a bubbling stream over the sirens of the city, and the quiet of the countryside over the hustle and bustle of the world. We hunt, we fish, we farm. We live off the land. It's our mission to help our clients live out their dreams on the land as we do. At Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, we believe that it's not just land, It's a lifestyle. Join us 5 days a week on Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast as the Living the Dream Outdoor Dream Team explores the most desired outdoor properties in the Midwest and whisks you away to incredible hunting, fishing, and outdoor recreation opportunities. Host Bill Cooper, an inductee of the National Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, will be joined by members of the Living the Dream Outdoors team each week as they tell tall tales, unveil tips and tactics, and rub elbows with some of the biggest names in the outdoor world. You'll also find the Living the Dream Outdoors podcast on your favorite social media platforms, including Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok.